Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight. Good to be with you. It's Wednesday night. We're going to be ministering to every person tonight, so get ready for that. All right, I'll be right back. Hang on a minute. All right, welcome, everybody. Everybody, we're here tonight. Thank you for being with us. Another lovely night in the neighborhood. And we're in the PGN neighborhood tonight, here to minister to you, pray for you, and believe God with you. So thank you for being here with us. All right. Hopefully everything's good tonight. I'm doing good. And hopefully you are. Had a great Christmas, and got a lot. Just celebrated Christmas in a way I've never had before. Yeah, never have. It's like, wow, I celebrated it in a way that I never have. And that's all I can say. I'm literally physically close to the child of Bethlehem, if you will, in a way that I never have been. And literally connected to Bethlehem, connected to the city of David, the place of David. Just something brand new for me, and so grateful. Just it's hard, kind of hard to believe sometimes. So very. So I think it's just the beginning of more. I think we're going to start seeing a whole lot more things happening and going on. And we're looking forward to it. Looking forward to every moment of it. And believe in God that us as a family, that we've been designed and purposed by God to be a part of the end times in a very specific way, in a very powerful way, in a very unique way. Sometimes I have to pinch myself and shake myself and say, is this really happening? And the more I pinch myself, I'm going to quit pinching myself. I'm having to pinch myself a lot. And it's really awesome, but at the same time, it's like, come on, man. This stuff is really happening. What are we going to do? We're just going to keep pinching ourselves, wake up, believe it's happening. It's actually going on. So anyway, there you go. So that's kind of what's going on with me. And I'm not sure what's going on with you right now, but I've been learning a lot, seeking the Lord a lot. I do that. My heart does that all the time anyway, just like yours does. That's one thing about your spirit man. Your spirit man is always, your spirit man is always in the knowing. He's not searching. Your spirit man does not search. Your spirit man is there and knows. That's the part of you that knows. My sheep know my voice. And that's something that we haven't talked about just a whole lot in specific. But most people don't realize that they're in the knowing all the time. If you're truly born again, you're in the knowing all the time. I mean, all the time. The thing is becoming aware of it. And that's where your soul, that's where you start working, getting your mind to know the Word of God, to learn to seek after God. Your soul seeks after God. Your spirit man already knows. Your spirit man lives in the knowing. You can't be seated with Christ in heavenly places, friend, and not know. You're seated with Him. You're in board meetings. You're in the orchestration. You're watching everything. Your spirit man does that. I know it's hard to believe, but the Bible says it, and so, I know it. I want to talk about that a little bit tonight in a little bit different way tonight. I heard Perry Stone say some really cool things tonight. It was on Daystar, and I was listening to it. Really, really, I think I wrote it down somewhere. I think I'm going to try to find it. But, he said some really cool things that about how fast our spirit man travels. And I just thought it was really good. Where did I put that? Where did I write that down at? Oh my gosh, where did I put it? I mean, my phone isn't connected to my computer yet. The Alt Notes connect from your phone to your computer. Mine do. And sometimes when they don't quite do it, it messes up everything. Okay. Where did I put that at? Oh, my gosh. Oh, here it is. Right here. Good. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I do have it. you know, I've criticized Perry Stone a little bit, maybe a lot on Preacher of Rapture, but he's got some really cool stuff. All right, so I want y'all to hear this tonight. If you just take a moment, I kind of want to go here tonight. He kind of got me stirred up about it, and he said something tonight. He was talking about how Paul was, you know, went to heaven. He was caught up into third heaven, right? Y'all know about that story and that experience Paul had. And he said, whether I was in a body, other body, I don't know, but he, you know, went to heaven. And Perry was talking about how that. That when, and I never thought about this until he said it. It was new to me. So I'm just telling you what I heard him say, and I think it's right. I think it's cool. He said when Paul got whooped up on a lot. He got whooped, he got stoned, he got beaten. And so one time it says that, and bless his heart, you know, I wouldn't want to be stoned or beaten. But anyway, but he was left for dead one time. He was stoned and left for dead is what the Bible says. And so Perry connected this, and I thought it was really cool and right on, that he says that that's when Paul was caught up, because they left him for dead. He probably was dead, you know, to a certain degree, and he went to heaven, and he was caught up into the heavens. And when I heard Perry say that, I went, man, I like that. I can write that down. And people love it when I say good things about Perry, which they think I don't really love Perry, but I really do. But and John Hagee and those guys, I really do love them. But isn't that cool? He said, I never connected that. He said, well, Paul was left for dead. He was been stoned and left for dead. He says that the Lord showed him that was when Paul was caught up into the third heaven. And then he started talking some really cool stuff. He's got a lot of the guy's got some amazing information. I mean, Perry has some really great stuff. We don't agree on some things vehemently. But other than that, we had some really great things that I love. And he's got stuff I've never heard of before. It's really amazing. He was talking about how the spirit man, how fast the spirit man travels. And then I think Joni was talking about how that one of the people that she interviewed was dead in the hospital, was dead for 11 hours. I believe he was in the hospital. The man was dead for 11 hours. And he was a pilot. And he was talking about how that when he died, he was soaring through the heavens, but there was no wind. There was no sound. It was peaceful, but he was going at the speed of light, faster than the speed of light, faster than the speed of light to heaven. And so anyway, I'm going to connect all this together with something I had an experience with once that I never put it together with until tonight, that when your spirit man travels, your spirit man can go somewhere quick. I mean, if your spirit man our spirit man can travel fast and go places, like, quick. And that's my overall statement I'm making here tonight. And Perry kind of helped me get there. The spirit man travels faster than man knows, at speeds not known to man. Okay, and so I remember the time that I had an experience. I was pastoring a little church that I started out of a shopping mall. I rented on the back side of it, I rented a place, and we had, you know, a church going on in there, and had up to about, at one time, 100 people. It wasn't very big. And so I was very excited, and God was really using me, and yet I was struggling at the same time, asking God, am I really called to be a pastor? Am I called to be something else? Or am I even called at all? You know, and I wanted to know, because it was really a lot of work. I was like going, I even called another pastor and said, you know, how do you do this thing, man? I don't feel like I'm doing very good at it. And so it was really interesting. So in the midst of all that, I asked God, I said, God, am I called to be in the five-fold ministry? You know, if I'm not, I'll just keep doing the same old thing I'm doing, right? I keep preaching and praying for the sick, and I'll do all. He knows me, but I know about Stephen, who was stoned. Stephen was not a five-fold ministry guy, and he flowed in mighty power of God. Right? We've talked about that before, how Stephen, who was stoned, you remember Paul held his clothes and held the clothes of those who stoned him, and he stoned him. And he saw Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. And so what I'm trying to say is that where I want to go with this is that, our spirit man travels fast. Our spirit man travels fast. All right, so you have to picture this. I'm in Texas at the time, in Lubbock, Texas at that time. I had a little church. It was a Wednesday or Thursday night. I can't remember which one it was because on Wednesdays, we used to do Wednesday, then we did Thursday. So it's one of those nights, middle of the week service. And I'm got 15, 20 people in there on a Wednesday night, maybe probably something like that, 15 or 20, the other faithfuls, showing up. And I'm teaching and doing my thing. And all of a sudden, as I'm closing the service, at the end of the service, about 8:30 or so, 8:30, all of a sudden I start getting a word. And because I heard the name of a man, George. I've talked about this before. I've heard the name George. I said, is anybody praying for somebody named George? Nobody raised their hand. No, I'm not. Okay. I prayed for George anyway, praying again to end the service, and all of a sudden I get the name George, Otis. So I said, is anybody praying for anybody named Otis? Nobody raised their hand. I'm going like, and somebody tried to raise their hand, like, I think I know. No, it's okay. You don't have to raise your hand. Man. And so I start praying for Otis, right? All of a sudden I felt like, this is where I want to go tonight. All of a sudden, as I said, Otis, and started praying for Otis, I felt like I was in a war zone, just like that. And that's the way I described it. I said, y'all, I feel like I'm in a war zone, in a foxhole. That's exactly how, because that's the only way I could describe, what was happening with me. That I feel like I'm in a foxhole in a war zone. And that's exactly my words. And they're looking at me like, man, this is crazy. Well, about that time, and my intercessor lady stood up. She's an older lady, really. Her and her husband were really faithful, loyal people, and she heard from God, man. She stood up. She said, she ran to him, and she said, Randy, she said, I see destruction going on, and I'm going, oh no. And we prayed, no Jesus, please no. And so, what was happening was my spirit man. In just a few seconds, when I started getting this information about George Otis had a radio station in Lebanon. Now, I've been to Lebanon when I went to Israel. Remember that when I told you guys, the guy interpreted my tongue was Hebrew. When I was traveling with him, they picked us up at Tiberias, at what they call the Lake of Sea of Galilee, not the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. We were right there at Tiberias, and they came and picked us up in cars, and so we were going up to Lebanon, right? So I, years later, I went to Lebanon. And so I've been there. And so, but what was happening is all of a sudden my spirit man had traveled, even though my body was still there in that sanctuary of that storefront church with about 15, 20 people, something like that. And my spirit man was there. My spirit man traveled there. Even though I never left my body was still there. Obviously, they could still see me. My spirit man went there, and I was there in the spirit because I could feel, literally, that's why I could feel like I was in a war zone. And because I was actually transported in my spirit, not my body, not myself. My spirit traveled that fast. You go on an airplane, it takes many, many hours to get there, right? But my spirit man went there instantly. I'm blaming all this on Perry Stone tonight, y'all, okay? Perry Stone started this tonight. I mean, I heard him talking on TV. So my spirit man went there, and I would never forget this because I felt like I was there, but I wasn't there. You know, Paul the Apostle said he was caught up in third heaven. He didn't know whether it was in the body or out of the body. Friend, I can understand that because my spirit man didn't go to heaven. But my spirit man traveled all the way across the world, up around Israel, on the other side of Israel, is the city of the country of Lebanon, is Lebanon, what they call Lebanon. And I was there, in my spirit, man. And what happened is George Otis, which we found out later, had a radio station there, and the terrorists had bombed it and killed people. So my intercessor lady who stood up and said, I see death and destruction. I'm going, oh, my God, no. Well, she was right. She was right. I got the name, and I knew I was there in a war zone, which that's what that was at that time. That was very much a war zone. And the Muslims hated George Otis. He had that radio station. He was broadcasting out over the, over territory, over Israel, over Jews and Muslims. And Muslims were getting saved, and Christians and Jews were getting saved, and they did not like it at all. And so a Muslim man with a backpack on had came toward him and toward the security officer that was out there. And when he said halt, the guy didn't halt. He shot him. When he shot him, he blew up the whole place. And so I've told you all that story before, but I've never really realized how our spirit man can travel. And I think the reason God opened my eyes to that tonight by listening to Perry Stone, even though Perry didn't say this particular, because he talked about how Paul got stoned by stones. Make sure to clarify that. Got stoned by rocks. They rocked him to death, or at least they thought he was dead. And he was left. And Perry said, I think that he went to heaven then, because they said they left him for dead, like he was dead. They knew he was dead, but he wasn't dead. That or he got resurrected, but he went to heaven. He was caught up to the third heaven. His spirit man, he said, I don't know whether in the body or out of the body. Same thing with me. When part of me was standing in Lubbock, Texas, and part of me, my spirit man, had traveled to Lebanon and was there observing what was going on and knew the name of the person who owned the radio, even though the person was not there because he owned the radio station. He traveled all over the globe. He was like an evangelist, an apostle evangelist, whatever he was. And so, though he wasn't there, that's how God started out this word. Because my spirit man knew, and then my spirit man literally went there and was there. So my body was in Lubbock, Texas. My spirit man was in Lebanon. I was actually literally feeling the atmosphere of war and terror that was going on even that night. I felt it like I was there. So I'm telling you something. I saw this tonight, and I just want to tell you that this is a prophetic message right now. We are going to see. You see what's going to happen. We've been talking about the spirit man for a long time, in a way that I've never heard anybody talk about it. Never, except what's his name in Colorado, Andrew Womack, and that was just like a month ago, maybe 2 months ago. I heard him say things I've never heard anybody say before, and I didn't get it from him, by the way, because I've been talking about this for a long time. But I heard him say it. I couldn't believe somebody said it like I said it, because I've never heard anybody say it like we say it here on BGN, as far as your spirit man. And how it works and how it functions and that kind of thing. And so, I'm going like, oh, my God, we are going to see that part of us is going to go, our spirit man, who is spirit. And your spirit man, friend, can travel to heaven in an instant, can travel to Lebanon, can travel to Israel, can travel across the street. Can travel anywhere. When God wants you to go there and be there, your spirit, your body will be saying, like Paul, I said, I don't know, in my body or out of my body. You know what? I think his body would never, they saw his body laying there. His body never left anywhere. But his spirit man zoomed up to heaven, to the heavenlies, and traveled like that. That Joni talked about, that guy she interviewed, that he was dead for 11 hours. She said that being an airplane pilot, he understood, speed and that kind of thing, because he flew all the time. But he said when he was going on his way to heaven in the spirit realm, his spirit man was going there, he said that it was so peaceful, so calm, but he was going fast, like faster than any man could ever know what fast is. That's that fast, traveling at speeds that men, we don't even know about, right? So. So what I'm trying to say to you tonight, prophetically, is that get ready, because wherever God wants you to go, you can go there with your spirit man without your physical body ever leaving. So you don't have to get on an airplane and travel somewhere. Oh, that's cool. I like traveling, you know, when I have to, when I have to, when I need to, when God wants me to. But, you know, so I've been asking God a lot about this thing, about what we're going to do in the end times as God gives it to us, how we're going to be able to go places and be places and do things. And it's going to be our sometimes, you know, we're going to literally be transported with your physical bodies. Your physical body will go there, or at least that's what it will appear as. I don't really understand all this. I'm just telling you stuff I'm not real familiar with, but I'm just telling you what I'm seeing. Okay, so if I don't get the language just right to understand what I'm talking about, we're going to be going places. Sometimes our body will go. Sometimes our body won't go. Philip outran the chariot, right? How did that happen? Well, sometimes your spirit man, you know, takes a hold of your whole body and soul, and you literally travel that fast. He outran the chariot. Of course, we're talking about speeds much faster than that. When your spirit man travels, your spirit man, like my spirit man was in, I was in physically in Texas. My spirit man traveled to Lebanon in a few seconds. Like, man, wouldn't it be nice if our airplanes could do that and we could fly for half price and get there twice as fast? But this is what I'm telling y'all. Get ready, because our spirit man, you're going to have start having experiences where your spirit man is going to be like leaving your body. You're going to be sitting there. You could be sitting there talking and eating dinner with somebody. I was standing there preaching, trying to enter service, praying with people. And all of a sudden, I was aware that I was not there, but yet I was there. Part of me was somewhere else. In a war zone. I felt it. I sensed it. I knew that I was there, and yet I wasn't there. I was in Texas. All right? It's the only time I know that for sure that I've had that kind of experience. I may think about it and come up with some more more to go with, but that's the first one I thought about, because it was so obvious that even though I was standing there in front of 15 to 20 people on a Wednesday night or Thursday night preaching and trying to pray and into service, my spirit man traveled that fast and was in Lebanon watching things go on. And because I was there watching it, what I was watching in my spirit man in Lebanon with this terrorist coming and this thing going on, you know, was being transported with information, and it hit that lady. It not only hit me, it hit her. She jumped up. She said, oh, I can see that. So there's this whole realm of our spirit. When our spirit man goes somewhere, whether it's to the heavenlies or wherever you go in your spirit man, your body does not always have to go with you. Sometimes your body's going to stay there, and your spirit man's going to travel. Spirit man's going to go places and visit things and see. I had my spiritual mom. I've talked about my spiritual mom before. She told me, she said, Randy, one night in my bed, and she lived in New Mexico at that time. So lived in New Mexico. My husband was overseas in the war. He was in the Air Force. And she said one night, I traveled somewhere like Vietnam or somewhere. So I don't know where I was at, but the sand, listen to this. She said the sand was hot. She told me this herself. She said the sand was hot. And I saw my husband, and he was sleeping with another woman, literally. And then later they found out that it was exactly right and knew what she looked like and everything. Her body never left, but her spirit man traveled there. And literally when she came back, she says, Randy, it's like I was there physically too, because I couldn't hardly figure out what was going on. She said, my feet were hot and burned from being in that sand. The sand was hot. Very hot. She said, whenever I woke up, my feet were red and like burning a little bit. Like she said, it felt the same thing as what I felt like when I walked on that hot sand. And I think she said it was Vietnam. I can't remember at the time, but, so there's another experience that I didn't have it personally, but a person who I knew very, very well, it was not exaggerating or lying to me, you know, told me that stuff went on. I went, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, it was just like hard. And this lady had an anointing on her. I mean, this lady had an anointing on her. I think I told you this story many times or a few times. When I first met her, when I was out witnessing, it was back in the early 70s, middle 70s, maybe 70, 76, 77, somewhere there. I've been saved. I got saved in 74 and 73. And then in 74, went to college. And after I got to college, I went to a little town I lived in. And so I used to go to the stores and witness. And I met her at I was witnessing a Walmart store, or a Kmart store, witnessing a Kmart store. And in that Kmart store, I saw some lady over there in the curtain department. So I went over to her like I always did. And I say, "Hey, ma'am, has anybody ever told you about Jesus?" That's what was my favorite line. "Has anybody ever told you about Jesus?" She looked at me like, "What have I got here?" You know, she looked at me a little unusual than most people did. She said, "Well, let's go over there in the little cafe thing and sit down and talk." I said, "Okay." We went in there and sat down. She invited me to her house. As I'm sitting across the chair for her, I'm going to win her to Jesus, right? That's what I'm thinking. I want to win everybody to Jesus, literally. I'm sitting across from her in her living room in a chair. She was sitting in her chair. And I literally saw beside her called the Burning Bush Experience, where there was this gentle but pretty good size, you know, maybe 15 inches by 20 inches, you know, like a burning bush. It looked like a burning bush to me. And I kept thinking, what am I seeing? What is this thing? And this woman was anointed, man. She prayed for people. They didn't just go out for a little bit. They would be out, like out. I mean, when they went out, they went out. I've never even had that before. she was anointed, man. And so, you know, she had some very unusual experiences. This woman was really, I give a lot of credit to God for her, for where God took me from. What she was tough on me. God used her to be very, very tough on me. She was very tough on me. And yet I knew she loved me, or I wouldn't have put up with it. I didn't have to put up with it. you know why I put up with it? Were they being tough with me? You know, I said, "Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are telling me that?" And, you know, and God would always remind me, "Remember, Randy, the burning bush, I told you to be here. That's why you're here. She's going to teach you, and you are not teaching her." I'm going like, doggone it, you know, what's going on, Randy? And literally, that's what happened. And she literally had what I call my burning bush experience with God through a woman, my mother's age, and a German Jew. She was a German Jew, born in Germany, escaped Germany when Germany was, you know, she escaped Germany. Anyway, long story, she was on Zola Levitt one time. You guys know Zola Levitt is. She was on Zola Levitt many years ago. It was on his program. And she had a little bit of a paranoia, though, about them finding her. And she kind of always carried that just a little bit, which I never understood. But literally, she would have, you know, fear of that, because she escaped Nazi Germany. And she always had this thing that they were going to come get her or something. They never did, and I think she kind of got over it. But it's very real. Anyway, this person was anointed, man, amazingly anointed, and was very tough on me. And the only reason I would stay there and put up with that nonsense, you know, so to speak, was because that burning bush that I saw. God would always remind me of that. Remember that burning bush? Trust me that I'm showing you that this is where you belong for now. Stay there and don't move. So for 3.5 years, y'all, I got, you know, blessed, loved on by the Spirit of God, and rebuked. Woo! Y'all, I am very nice compared to her. I mean, she was tough on me. She was a German Jew. German. A real German. German. Anyway, and so I don't know why I'm going here tonight, but y'all see, this is, so we are about to see our spirit man traveling places and going places. Sometimes our physical body will go, sometimes it won't. We don't know with her, but she told me her story. She literally went and saw her husband. Her husband was, you know, in Vietnam, and he was found himself a girlfriend over there. And she kept thinking that something was wrong, bad wrong, but she didn't want, you know, she didn't, everybody can think that stuff, right? But she got transported to Vietnam or wherever where he was, and literally walked on the hot sand without her shoes on. She didn't have any shoes, just like she was laying there, like she got up and had her pajamas on, and she was in Vietnam seeing her husband with this other woman. And then when she confronted him, she found out exactly, knew the name, everything. Like, y'all, that is a little, you know, whoa, right? But that literally happened to her, and I believe every word of it. She said her feet were red hot, like she had, because she, when she went there, she might have gone there physically. It's kind of hard. That's one of those things that's hard to know. She might have gone there physically because she said her literally her feet were just like burned almost with from the red, from the hot sand. Anyway, it doesn't make any sense to me, but that's what she said. So this is, we're going to see, I think 23 is going to be a time where we're going to travel and move in the spirit. Our spirit man, which is already seated with Christ in many places, is going to be going on mission trips for God and can go there in a matter of seconds. Can travel. I traveled to Lebanon in a matter of seconds. She said in her dreams, you know, I mean, it was in Vietnam. You don't travel to Vietnam. It takes hours and hours and hours to go to Vietnam. You know, she was there and saw all that stuff and came back. You know, before morning, she was back early. She went there and came back. Zoom, saw the stuff, did the things, got the name, got an answer, and came back and boom, just like that. And so when Perry Stone said this tonight, I thought, you know, I never thought about that before. That is awesome. Absolutely awesome. So and, you know, and then of course years later, I go to Lebanon, and Lebanon is on the way to Lebanon is when that guy told me that I had spoken Hebrew in one of my tongues, that I spoke in Hebrew and said Christ is being exalted at the right hand of the Father. And so, you know, long story short, that kind of tells you something that's going on. So God is telling me, y'all, to tell you guys, get ready for this stuff. Get ready for your spirit man to go places, and you never have to. You don't have to pay a ticket. You don't have to do nothing. You're going to be going. You may go across the street. You may go across the globe. But it doesn't take all. It's not like flying an airplane. You just, like Perry Stone was talking about, he said that, and Johnny was talking about that guy when he died. He said that he traveled so fast, yet it was peaceful and quiet, and yet he was like going really, 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 really fast, faster than any jet, faster than the airplane, going extremely fast. And, friend, I believe it. I don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense to me intellectually, but I believe it. And God is telling me tonight that we're going to see this stuff. We're going to experience this stuff. We're going to walk in that place, and we're going to start seeing these things happen. So hopefully y'all are ready for that, because it's going to be, yeah. So get ready. All right. Okay. So, and we're talking about the born. Let's talk about the spirit man just for a moment, and then I'll move on and take our callers tonight. Here's a scripture that I got about the spirit man. I like to talk about it because it's something God's given me that I have heard very few people, nobody ever talk about some of it. And so I know that, you know, and then when I heard Andrew Womack talk about it, it shocked me. I mean, I wouldn't just shock me. You know, it's just unbelievable. And so I told some of my friends that. Now that Dave watches with Andrew Womack all the time. and I don't really get off on him that much. But, you know, he's pretty cool. He's got some pretty cool stuff. But anyway, so I want to share this with you. And hopefully God is starting to help you understand that what we talk about, what we preach and prophesy about, friend, this is God. God is saying this. God is talking this stuff. God is telling the preacher of rapture, all that. You might as well get ready, because that's going to be the great revelation. That's why we've been hitting it so hard and been kind of tough on it, is because we're going to see it not happen. And when it doesn't happen, it's going to create a devastation on people. And you will understand then, when you see it, you will understand why God has been so tough on this, dealing with this, with these shepherds and merchandising. Merchandising is going to be, y'all going to find out pretty soon. Some of you believe it. Some of you are not sure. Some of you, you don't know. You're going to find out that this is the message of the hour, and yet you don't hear it, you know, and it which even more so says that it's the message of the hour, right? It's the message of the hour. It's the trouble of the troublesome, the thing that has troubled the church and has compromised the church is the merchandising realm. And that and the preacher of rapture thing, all those things too much together, we talk about a lot. You're going to find out that while we talk about this and while the words have me talk about it, why it's important to listen and understand that what we're telling you is the Holy Spirit. And so there you go. All right. 1 Peter 1:23 says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, S-E-E-D, but incorruptible seed through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Right? the word of the Lord lives and abides forever. In other words, when you got born again by the Spirit, you got born again by incorruptible seed. Incorruptible seed. In 1 John it says, he that is born of God sinneth not, for his seed remains in him. Let me get that scripture for you. Let's go here just for a second. Let me get that. And I'm going to talk about this for a few minutes, and then we're going to take a caller tonight. Okay, let's go here for a second. Give me just a minute here. Minute here, I'm getting okay. So what I want to do, oh, iPhone. I don't know what's going on here. Okay. Give me just a moment. That's all getting messed up. All right. So we're going to talk about the spirit man just for a moment, and then we're going to take callers. So our spirit man has been born of incorruptible seed. In 1 John, it talks about how that he that is born again, born of the Spirit or born again, sinneth not because his seed remains in him. In other words, the seed that you've been born of is your spirit man. Your spirit man has been born of the seed, the incorruptible seed of God, through the word of God, which lives forever and abides forever. So a real quick thing on this, and then we're going to move on. But your spirit man, friend, you have to understand that your spirit man is a part of you that is incorruptible. It cannot be corrupted. It's not born of corruptible seed, you know, which can be corrupted. It is born of incorruptible seed, which cannot be corrupted. It cannot be corrupted. That's why the Bible says in 1 John, he that is born of God sinneth not. It's talking about your spirit may not sin. Your soul sins, your body sins, of course. We know that. That's what happens. Your soul sins. There's no question about that. But your spirit man that has been born of God does not sin. And we got to get a hold of that and understand that your spirit man is going to travel to be with God, going to travel because he's seated with Christ in heavenly places in an incorruptible realm. He's incorruptible completely. There is no corruption in him. He cannot be corrupted. He cannot be corrupted. That's what it says. He that is born of God cannot sin or cannot be corrupted. Why? Because his seed remains in him. All right? Now, I know it's kind of hard to pack in for some of you, but you need to get that in your spirit, man, or we're going to be really messed up. I mean that literally. We're going to be confused. and never be able to understand our spirit man and how our spirit man is going to travel and move around and do things. And so when you start understanding, the reason we've got to understand our spirit man the way it really is because as we're doing what I'm talking about tonight, you're going to be able to know that your spirit man is going to, your spirit man knows. That's the part of you that my sheep know my voice. That's the part of you that knows the voice of God at all times. Never not knows the voice of God. Now, your soul is the part of you that just has a hard time believing it. Your soul, your mind, is the part of you that has to be renewed, right, and changed. Your spirit man doesn't get changed. He was recreated. He doesn't change. He was recreated in the image and likeness of Jesus through incorruptible seed, and your spirit man can never sin again. Because, number one, it's sealed and seated with Christ in heavenly places. Your soul, however, is not. So your soul can sin, your body can sin, can never sin, never. It's incorruptible. It cannot be corrupted. Your soul can be. It's so, your soul is, but your spirit man is not. All right? So the reason we need to understand that stuff, so you can start knowing the truth about it, so we know the truth about it, you're going to be able to, your spirit is going to be able to, you know, you're going to start experiencing these spiritual experiences with God and going places and seeing things. Like, I can't believe that God took that woman and showed her husband with another woman, because, I mean, that was like, I'm going like, you know, that was wild. But that actually happened. And you can tell by the look on her face, and she said, Randy, you know, when I got back, I mean, I woke up and my feet were hot, like they'd been burned. Like the same thing I felt when I was in that sand. The sand was so hot, I could barely walk on it. When I got back, and that her husband was in Vietnam, he was in the Air Force, and there was war going on at that time. And so, anyway, that just shows you what God can do, y'all. So get ready for what God's about to do. All right. All right, let's take our callers tonight and see what's going on tonight. We're going to learn more about our spirit man as we go, so you can let your spirit man go. You can let him go. Let him go. Let him trust your spirit man that he's seeing what God is seeing. He's seeing with Christ in many places. And when you let that go to its fullest, you're going to find yourself going places and seeing things and knowing things that some things you may not want to know. Yeah, some things you may want to know. God may want you to know some things that you don't want to know, and he will show you like he did her. And she knew something was wrong, but, you know, I mean, it was she explained to him what she looked like and everything. And this was a Holy Ghost, tongue-talking, spirit-filled, word-loving, righteous person. I knew her personally. And so there you go. It's just amazing. So get ready. Get ready. All right, so Blaine Parrish known for that tonight. I listened to him. I thought his message was awesome, and especially for those of you who think I don't like him or something. You're wrong. I just speak real plainly about stuff because the Lord is telling me to. All right? That's why I did it. That's the only reason I did it. Don't like being tough. There we go. All right. Let's take our caller tonight. Thanks for being with us. All right. I'm going to take my first caller tonight, 912-396. Can I talk to you, Ruth, please?
Paulette Jones.
Oh, hi, Paulette. Okay, Paulette. Thank you, Paulette. Thank you, Lord, for Paulette, God. I thank you, Father, for expanding her understanding, God, that enlarging her mind, enlarging her tent. When God says he's going to enlarge her tent, he's enlarging your ability to receive, like a tent, receive things. When it's your tent, can your house is who you are. You are the house of God. You are the temple of God. And God's enlarging your tent. He's enlarging your household. He's enlarging your ability to He's expanding your stakes, you know, your tent. But the reason the Bible talks about tents and talks about us as being tents is because we're the traveling, moving, temple of God, right? That's what Jesus was. He was a traveling tent. He had tent revivals. He was the tent. Yeah, so I don't know why I'm saying it to you, but now get ready. God's going to expand your mind. Your mind is a part of you that opens up the tent. Your spirit man is, of course, you know, seated with Christ in every place. He knows everything that you could ever dream or hope of. But the thing is connecting with that, your own spirit man. Your spirit man is so high. He's so way up there as far as spirituality, if you will. We have a hard time comprehending that. our soul still lives in this realm of trying to figure everything out. Our spirit man knows everything, you know, about God because he watches him all the time. So thank you, Lord, for that connection, that her mind will be expanded and open to God, where she takes the bread of, eats the bread of the body of Jesus, the Word of God, that her mind can be expanded, where she can conceive and receive in her mind what's going on in the spirit realm with God, because her spirit man is there. And when you start realizing that your spirit man is there and you get the revelation of that, it opens you up to receiving it more. It's easier for you to receive it. It's easier for it to come. And I see God do that, expanding your tent or expanding your mind, where you can start to move to higher levels, where your spirit, where part of you, not something different from you, not somebody else, not Jesus, not the Holy Ghost, you are recreated in his image and likeness, Paulette, and that's there, whether we believe it or not. We are seated with him. He knows everything about what God going on in the kingdom of God, and he's trying to reveal it to your mind. God says for opening your mind. Like when Jesus broke bread, it says their minds were open and they could see. Their minds were open and all of a sudden they knew. Like when they walked on the road to Emmaus, they all of a sudden, they were walking with Jesus for a little while. They never even knew they were walking with Jesus. They were complaining, oh yeah, we thought he was the Messiah and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, you know, Jesus, they know Jesus. He said, let's stop and eat some bread. He broke bread with them. Their minds were open. Their minds, Paulette, their minds were open. Bakaho chekanawande. Open her mind, Jesus, as she eats the bread of the word, the bread of communion, the bread, breaking bread with Jesus. Hallelujah. Open up her mind so she can see and know things that her soul will know. Her mind will know what her spirit man already knows. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open that up for her, God, so she can rise above, you know, limitations and move more into the limitless realm of God. The limitless realm of God. Amen. All right. 202-722. Am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Brother Randy. This is Daryl Paul from Maryland and Nicole from D.C.
All right. All right. Good to have you guys. All right. You notice, especially Nicole, she's very familiar with this line of thinking. As I was ministering this word to Paulette about the limitless realm, as soon as I said that word, I thought, well, there you guys are. You're next. As soon as I said limitless, immediately my mind went to Nicole because she's heard me talk about this stuff for a long time and how that I truly believe, and this is really hard for people to believe, I truly believe that we are on our way to the limitless realm. And that tonight, part of what I talked about tonight, experiences I've had and my spiritual mother had, not even understanding what that is, that our spirit man, we're about to see some things going on in our spirit man in the limitless realm. And part of it is our mind. In fact, it's all about our mind, really. Everybody says, Daryl, Paul, that the battle's in the mind. And it truly is in the mind. It truly is in the mind. And so I'm on a journey, and I've talked about this a little bit. Nicole's known about this for years. She's one of the few that paid, you know, real attention to it, and it gave me feedback on it. I think everybody listened and knew, but she gave me a lot of feedback on it. That is, some things touch people. Other things touch people. You know, you never know what's going to touch somebody. Well, that particular thing, I think because she works in a university, she teaches, and she has a mind for the mind and all that kind of thing. I think it's why she caught that. Other people catch other things that we teach on and share on. And for some reason, she caught that because she lives in the world of, you know, the intellect and how important it is to know things and to communicate things. And so I see God taking off this smothering. I sense a smothering thing, like the things that smother us are the things that the limited realm, instead of the limitless realm, the limited realm smothers us. Our spirit man, we are made to breathe heavenly air. Heavenly air is right here with us. Your spirit man is breathing the heavenly air right now. And I see God uncovering and the Lord taking authority over and rebuking those things in your mind that have a struggle and a battle like we all have. We all have a battle. We all have belief but have our unbelief. And the unbelief part that will believe and is going to believe is God's – I see God rebuking that and helping you to understand things that you've never understood before. It's like God, I can tell it with Paulette, God's going to all of a sudden open up your brain, Daryl Paul, and open up your mind to the limitless realm of God. And that, even though when you're truly born again, your spirit man is in the limitless realm, but we live in a limited realm in our minds, in our bodies. So our spirit man, when it's born again, is in that limitless realm. We are connected to it, and yet we don't walk in it. And so God is saying, I want you to walk in it, 30, 60, and 100-fold, the limitless realm. And I believe one of the things God is going to have to for us to do is walk in that realm where our minds can clearly receive the heavenly messages like a screen, like a clear, good screen with a projector projecting images and understanding information from our spirit man. Our spirit man is the projector. The projector shoots the images on the screen, but the screen has to be in right. And I know I did this thing. I know this. The screen is important to get the clear images. And plus, also, you know, it does help to have a good projector, too. But the screen is extremely important on details and colors and that kind of thing. So what I see God doing is really opening you up to this place to where you become, where your mind becomes uncluttered, like God's doing me. He's uncluttering my mind, not just with information, but literally with bringing peace to your mind like you've never had before. Peace to your mind, that so supernatural peace, there, Paul, that you're going to be shocked. You are going to be shocked. Brain is full of electricity, which is called anxiety. That's what it is in your brain. All the electrical cords or veins or nerves and then all the things. It's like one big motor that's an electrical motor, that if those wires and things are not functioning properly, they get all bound up with anxiety, stress, and we don't learn how to release that. That's what stops us from seeing clearly what God wants us to see and know. In other words, you're really fixing to become one smart man. Not that you're not already, right? But I'm talking about, you know, above and beyond what you've ever dreamed or thought of. And it's mainly going to be because God's going to show you how to get those electrode things, that anxiety and that stress that we all have in our life, how to get it out of your brain, out of your body, literally out of your brain, everybody, so that your brain can receive messages from God clearly, because it's not that you don't have the ability to do that. We all do if we're born again. But it's the fact that the mind, the battle is literally in the mind. Anxiety and stress and worry and doubt and all those things that we all do to a certain degree. Some of us do it more than others. Some of us worry less than others, right? But we still do it. And the more you learn how to cast those terrifying fear moments and those troubling moments that we all go through every day with things that happen, when you learn how to release that electricity and let that get out of your mind where it doesn't stop your mind from thinking, but it causes your mind to function perfectly. For every line, every cord, everything that runs that power through it is going to be flowing, not stopped up with that, which creates anxiety and stress. When that is running clear and running smoothly, your brain is going to be able to go, oh yeah, got that, got it. You're going to learn faster than you've ever learned. You're going to know more than you've ever known because you're going to learn so fast. You're going to learn so fast because God's going to remove a lot of things like he's doing with me, showing me physically how to release that anxiety and stress. And I don't have a lot of it, but, you know, we have a lot more than we think, right? We have a lot more than we think. And so God is going to literally show us how to get that brain functioning properly where the electrical part of it, all that, it flows, doesn't get stopped up and create that stress and that, you know, and worry and fear and all where we don't learn how to cast our cares upon the Lord. Man, and I'm telling you, dude, this is one of the things I'm learning more than anything. And the more I learn it, the more I hear from God, the more happy I am. the more free I am. I thought I was pretty happy, pretty clear, until all of a sudden I started getting freer and freer and freer. I'm going, oh, my God, look at this. I thought I was like Mr. Super-Duper Christian Man until I started getting freer and freer and freer and realized, oh, my God, look at this. Look how much – I didn't realize I could get this close to God. I didn't realize I could get this much information. I didn't think I could. 30, 60, 100-fold. 30 is a lot. 60 is a whole lot. 100-fold, that's a whole lot. Matthew 13, go read it. Hallelujah, God, and Nicole. And I think in order for Daryl Paul and Nicole being together, you know, that you begin to show them, release them, help them understand the things of the mind, the things of the mind, how the mind is truly the battlefield, because that's where we get stopped up. That's where we, you know, can't figure things out, and we get stressed out about it. And we all do that. It's a human being thing. And God, as you show us how to clear the brain, clear it of anxiety, clear it of not flowing perfectly and flow perfectly, 100-fold. And when that happens, that information can come in. We can process it properly, you know, and go, oh, my God. And you can, and then pretty soon you're going to find yourself processing 30-fold. That's pretty fast, 30-fold. Woo, 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 woo. Then 60-fold, woo, 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 woo. And then 100-fold, like that, if I made that make sense. You know, all of a sudden, because it's the ability to process information. Your brain has to be clear of anxiety. It's not just about thinking straight only and thinking about God clearly only. It is also a physical thing, and God's showing, he's showing me how to, I'm experimenting on all this stuff, literally, physically, have been for years, and found some, I'm having some amazing results, and I can't wait to share them. So y'all get ready. And I think that y'all talking about this over y'all tonight is God's going to do something with y'all's ability to learn and access information, not just human information only, that too, but from God. Because when you're walking with God, you can access any kind of information that's good information. If it's how to run a computer, how to learn, how to grow, you know, it's all that. And in your ability to learn and grow and process information and get ready for more information and more information and more information and more information. Where you're getting so much information, they're going to like, man, I'm like a bumblebee. I'm flying. I'm not even supposed to be flying, but I'm flying. Yeah, that. So get ready for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God's about to do it. He's opening it up. It's a spiritual thing. It's a calling. Amen. All right. 806, can I talk to you from, please?
Cynthia from Mississippi.
All right, Cynthia, thank you. Excuse me a minute here. Thank you, Lord, for Cynthia, God, that you are opening up her heart, God. Okay, here's the heart again, right? It's going right through the heart again. That you're doing something in her heart, God. You're enlarging her heart. Sometimes our heart shrinks up. Our heart shrinks up because we get disappointed. That shrinks up our heart. Disappointment and things that we all have. Everybody has disappointment. I get disappointed every day in myself and others, disappointed in, you know, things. I'm disappointed in the progress. You know, I get disappointed. So disappointment, it shrinks up your heart. But appointments and confirmation and, you know, appointments and getting, connecting and flowing and listening and letting your heart, you know, be saturated with love and affection from the Father and not disappointment. Because when God will never disappoint you. That's what I want to say to you tonight, Cynthia. God will never disappoint you. Disappointments in the earth shrink our heart. For God will never disappoint us. Never. Not in a, you know, I mean, we may be disappointed because he didn't do some things we think you should do, but we end up finding out that wasn't a disappointment, that was an appointment. And we start going, oh, God, thank you for not letting that happen. And then our heart becomes full. Our heart's not shrinking, but it's becoming fuller and fuller and fuller. And God, you're doing something in her heart where she's receiving the fullness. Her heart is going to function fully. Her heart is going to be able to love great and discern great. And to pick up things great that she needs to pick up and understand. God, her heart's going to be able to receive people and trust people and trust, you know, and know who to trust and know when to trust and all that, because her heart is growing. You're filling up her heart. You're saturating her heart. Her heart is becoming saturated and nurtured. Like with somebody's skin, you see somebody's skin, that when they're nurturing their body, their skin gets all wrinkled up and dried up. But when you nurture them, when they get nurtured, their skin just becomes popping and healthy and, you know, full and looking good. You know, looks healthy because it's fat. It's fat instead of withdrawn. And I see God doing this with your heart. Your heart is, God is showing you things that are not going to, so you will not walk in disappointment after disappointment. You're going to walk in appointment after appointment where God says, I've got an appointment with you. He's going to show up. He's not going to not show up. So when God doesn't, when things, people don't show up, what does it do? It disappoints us, right? But when God shows up, he has an appointment with God. God does not miss appointments, right? He's going to start showing you how to make appointments with him. And he's going to show you that he never misses an appointment, not ever. He never disappoints, and he never misses an appointment. When he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Amen. That's going to make your heart fat and happy, healthy and, you know, full. In Jesus' name, functioning 100%. So you can love big. You can believe big, because faith comes from the heart. It's with the heart, the Bible says in Romans, that man believes. Amen. Don't shrink back. Don't shrink up from the promises of God. God will not never disappoint you, neither leave you or forsake you. When we get left and forsaken, it just, our heart shrinks up. Our heart shrivels up. Starts getting all wrinkled up. And because why? Because it's shrinking. It's made to be full of, you know, life, full of, like a balloon, full of air, full of God's breath. Amen. All right. All right, 863-605, who want to talk to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Nikki from Florida.
Hey, Nick. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Nikki from Florida. God, we thank you, Jesus, for the power of God in her life tonight, God. The power of God doing moves in many different ways. Sometimes the power of God stops things from happening. Sometimes the power of God starts things happening. And all the different ways the power of God moves. He starts things. He finishes things. He begins things. He ends things. and understanding all the different ways the powers of God work. We always think about the power of God like just healing people and, you know, doing good. But sometimes, you know, good is misunderstood, because sometimes, you know, like Paul the Apostle, he prayed for somebody who was doing some bad stuff, and he said he prayed for him, he became blind. Well, how can that be good? How can that be power? Well, it's the power, like the two witnesses are going to have power. Power is not just to do what we think is good. Power from God is to do what God wants done. If God wants to blind somebody temporarily until they, you know, whatever, like what even happened with John the Baptist's father, where he couldn't speak, that's the power of God. I thought God is supposed to open up our tongue, not close. You know, the power of God does whatever the power of God does. Sometimes the power of God is spoken to take authority over Satan, right? Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he flees. So there's the power of God to stop Satan. There's a power of God to heal people. There's a power of God to, like the two witnesses are going to have the power of God to do plagues. What are the plagues for? To hurt people? No. To as a last ditch revival, to bring people to their knees. So they'll finally, you know, just say, Jesus, I surrender, because man, when those prophets spoke, stuff happened. And it wasn't good, and because we weren't good. We weren't right, and they got right with God. Why? Because the power of God did some things that scared them, that put the fear of God on them. Well, sometimes the fear, the power of God is going to be the fear of God, the reverential fear of God. Amen. Amen. All right, 972-695. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, from Texas. All right. We always like our Texas friends. We like all of our friends, actually. Thank you, Lord, for Texas. Thank you, Lord, for that, for the ministry of angels, God, the ministry of angels. And, Lord, understanding the ministry of angels and knowing that angels aren't really like the two experiences I've had with, I've had a different experience with angels, but and at the times that I had those angels visitations, you know, I couldn't say for sure they were angels because I never saw them. And all I know is that they just appeared like they were angels. like when the voice of God spoke to me, when that childlike voice spoke to me in my ear and said, there's a massive merger coming. And that voice, I believe, was the voice of an angel that was sent to me to connect me to the world markets and to, you know, prophesy about them and speak about them. But so that, because God knew and knows what's going to happen with things that nobody can guess, nobody can say. And he connected me to that market by an angel, right? He used an angel. An angel brought the message from God to me and connect. And God used those words. He put those words that were going to connect me to the market realm and much more by five little words. There's a massive merger coming. And little did I realize at the time that that angel, even though I never saw him, he spoke like an innocent child and whispered in my ear like it was a secret. There's a massive merger coming. I'm going, okay. Yeah, I didn't know what was going on. I was serving God, walking with God, going through hell and hell and back, literally, but walking with God. And nobody knew it. Nobody knew what the hell I was going through. I never told anybody. You know, I kept it myself. And I'm out ministering, praying, believing God, you know, the power of God's on me. And it's really awesome. And suffering like a big dog, man. And yet I'm laying on my bed like this, like wishing life would get better. And what do you know? I guess I must have broke through because an angel came and through five words connected me to what I now walk in. It showed me the two witnesses, showed me the Antichrist, the one world governments, the whole market realm, all that stuff through five words of an angel. Yeah, I don't know if you're getting ready to have an experience like this or something you've had, but get ready because God's going to connect you to some things by words and information. And then I had another experience with, in a dream with the two witnesses. When the two witnesses, somebody handed me, I never saw them. I knew it was an angel, but I never saw the angel because angels don't always like to show up and show off. Sometimes angels are very, like, in the background. They don't want to be talked about sometimes. I mean, you know. In other words, I never knew who these angels were. The second one, I guess, was Michael. I don't know if it was Michael, but I'm guessing that it was Michael who handed me those two banners for the two witnesses in that dream, which I'm now extremely connected to, and realized that those five words were the very words that connect me even to that realm for the two witnesses and the whole thing, all that. And now I'm literally physically connected to it, which I never thought that would actually physically literally happen. And now it's actually happening as I'm speaking. This is actually connected. It's actually being done. I mean, shocking me. And what did that? Angels. An angel. Never saw the angel. He didn't show up in glittering gold and, you know, flattery. He spoke like an innocent child, and I never saw him. And when the angel that handed me those two banners years later, that was first one was 2005, January 11, 2005, and then the second one was sometime in 2017, 18, I don't know what year it was, somewhere in that time, when that angel handed me the two banners. In other words, he was sent from God to give me the authority to welcome them on the earth. And somehow I had the authority through those banners, through given to me by God, through the angel. God gave the power to the angel. The angel give the power to me. Angels don't always understand what's going on. They just do what they're told. They look at me like when the first time I saw Michael showed up in that executive car. He looked at me like, you know, like, are you sure about this, God? I mean, literally, I don't know what he was thinking because I can't read his mind, but I knew it was Michael. And didn't really know who Michael was exactly, so an angel. Didn't know he was the protector of Israel. And I did not know that at the time. And so, but he just sat there and stared at me like, you know, this guy's not that great. it doesn't matter. They just like do what they're told, right? Do what they're told. And because God knows more than the angels. The angels are servants. They come to do. So two times, I'm just connecting this tonight, really, right now. Two times the angel came and spoke five words to me, connected me to the whole market realm and all this other stuff, the global markets and all that, and the economy. And then a few years later, maybe two to three years later, angel shows up again, except this was in a dream, and handed me those two banners. So in other words, those angels were giving me authority to rule over a thing or to, you know, to, I was given the authority when they showed up, you know, I was the official person to welcome them and say, here's your banners. Like, now let's go to war. That's literally what. Now we're going to go to war with the Antichrist and with the, you know, the world war system. So it all sounds crazy to me, but it's happening. So what else can we say? Right? Boom, bah. It's amazing. And you know, some of the stuff, but a lot of it I can't even talk about yet. It's just really getting crazy. But anyway, I don't know why I'm talking about that, but there you go. Angels. I know you've had experience with angels. I can't remember what they were, but anyway, very cool. Okay, there you go. And to Terrence tonight, God, we thank you for Terrence. God, we thank you for the tears. God, he shed, God, in Jesus' name. And, you know, that sometimes those tears are going to be, I see those tears manifesting and just coming. Like sometimes I've had experiences where I held things in because I'm kind of a holder. I hold things in. I don't really show much, you know, what I'm kind of slow, you know, and I'll go through some pain, but nobody will know it. And then, you know, months later or maybe years later, that pain manifests in it, you know. And so through tears, Terrence, I see God, like, things that have, that God's going to wash you of, things that you've been tough and you've hung in there, you're a man of faith. But at the same time, those things do affect us. It's like they affected Jesus. Jesus sweat his word, great drops of blood. Why? Because it was affecting him. David was a very expressive person. You know, what I used to think, he was whining and crying, expressing himself to God, and God loved that about him. You know, and so I see that really opening up with you in a brand new way, and it's going to open you up to God in a brand new way with God, you know, in new levels. Yeah, so get ready for that. It being more expressive, even in your worship, even in your songs, even in your voice for God, you're going to find yourself being more expressive because God's bringing that expressive thing to you, kind of like happened with David. The tears representing expression of, you know, whatever God's feeling through you, you're going to feel it, you know, at a clearer level. All right? Cool. All right, 912-318. Who want to talk to your friend, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Robert and Sandra from Georgia.
Hi, Robert and Sandra. Thank you, Jesus, for Robert and Sandra. Thank you, Lord, for the heart you've given them, God, to help people to be a blessing, God. And because they have a heart to be a blessing to people, God, and to serve and to love and to watch people, you know, go from unhealthy to healthy, God has put that compassion in you. Sandra, I know it's in you, and I'm going to say this over both of you or something for some reason, but that the thing to make people healthy, you know, I want to see people get healthy in one way. Other people that I know have the same kind of heart, but they want to see people get healthy in a different way. So you put those two people together, and it creates a real a balm of Gilead. It creates a real anointing. And I thank you, Lord, for Robert and Sandra, God, that ability, that thing in them that wants to see people be blessed, see people be taken care of, see people, the compassion, the power of God, the compassion of Jesus inside them, God, too. That you're going to use that in these latter days. You're gonna manifest it through them. You're gonna provide them with great provision, not just great provision financially only, but it's great provision of compassion, great provision of your power and your favor, so that they can truly help people. Sometimes helping people is not just getting people saved. Sometimes helping people is helping them, you know, with their car, helping them with their you know, helping them, yeah, with their finances, helping them with different things, helping them emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And that calling in you, you know, you each have different ways of wanting to help and wanting to heal, wanting to see people get blessed. And God's combining it together so that he can really open you up and bless you so you can be a blessing. The whole thing about being a blessing in the covenants of God is he blesses us so that we can be a blessing. In other words, he's blessing you and going to bless you so that you can do what you want to do. The unlimited, in an unlimited realm, being able to help people and do things for you in a way that is totally supernatural, given by God, totally supernatural, given by God. So let that be God, and bring them together to heal, to deliver, to set free, to confirm and have compassion on. In Jesus' name, God, bless them, God, for that love. Yeah, I feel the anointing on that. All right, Lord of my God. Wow. That was awesome. All right. Thank you, Sandra and Robert. God bless you guys. All right. 325-280. I'm going to talk to you, please.
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. Good evening, my brother. Thank you, Jesus, for Chris. God, I thank you, Father, for that standard of righteousness, that standard. You know, there's a standard of righteousness. There's also a standard where it says that, you know, Satan comes in like a flood, but God, but like a standard, God raises up a standard. You know, and so I see God like showing you how to let God raise up a standard. Let me see if I can find this scripture. Hang on a second. I don't know why I want to find it, but I do. Like a flood. Trying to find the scripture. I don't know where it's at. Maybe it's right here. Yes, Isaiah 59:19. Oh, I'm so glad I found that. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Some people think it says, I think Kenneth Copeland used to say that the Spirit of God will rise like a flood, the Spirit of God will rise up. So I don't, either way, it doesn't matter to me, but it's like I see God rising up a standard against the enemy, against those things that try to stop you. It's not necessarily, you know, the things that we have with troubles with every day, that too. But it's the things that try to stop you from, you know, doing everything God has called you to do. In other words, there's always something, you know, the devil wants, especially when you start getting prophetic words and information, you know, people don't realize that you're into a place of warfare, because now your purpose and your vision, the things God is making it a little more clear. He's speaking to you a little bit more specifically about things. Therefore, it opens you up to a little bit more, a bit of a warfare, but at the same time, the word of the Lord brings you a little bit more victory. So that's the standard. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. So, you know, the more God knows, the more it's being said that you're going to be used by God, you know, the enemy goes like, him? Like that guy? That kind of what happened with me when Michael was like, that this guy? Like, looking at Chris going, him? Okay, well, we better try to stop him. Well, when the enemy shall come in I like the way Kenneth Copeland says actually, because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. I think I'm going to go with Kenneth Copeland on that one tonight. I like that. So we thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For my brother God, you're going to rise up a standard like a flood. The Spirit of God is going to rise up a standard, shall lift up a standard against the enemy, against those things that try to come against him and fight him and stop him. Amen. From the big thing. You know, I'm talking about the big things, like, you know, the little things can mess with us and blah blah blah, and you know, that mess with a little bit, but it's you know, all the little things are to sometimes the little spots that spoil the vine try to spoil it for the big things. So what the enemy's overall purpose is, he doesn't want you connecting to the big things, because the big things are gonna take him down. Big things are gonna strip him of his lying and deception and his fraud, all the things that he does. And so God is after the earth, and he's using people who are in the earth to go after it, passion in Jesus' name. So I thank you, Lord, for his calling, God, that no matter how the enemy tries to come in, whether like a flood or like whatever he comes in with a rushing stream of stuff, the Spirit of God is going to rise up a standard. And will drive the enemy out. God's going to use you like to drive the enemy out of the land. Drive the enemy out. And that's what God did with Joshua and Caleb. They drove the enemy. They drove the giants out of the land. They drove them out. So God, I thank you for the ability, the power, God, for him to use to drive the enemies out of the land. God, you're using somebody in the natural human realm, in the land realm, to hear from you, be used by you to drive the giants out of the land and not let the giants have the land anymore. The giants have the land right now, and God's called us, Chris, to take down the giants. Amen. Like Joshua and Caleb were called to take down. We are called to take down those giants and possess the land. Amen. So that's the way it's going to be. And you're called to that. No doubt about it. All right. All right, 509-492. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Deborah from Washington.
Oh, hey, Deborah. All right, good to have you guys. And by the way, thank you guys for your blessing you sent to me in the mail. Thank you for that. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Jesus, for Deborah and Mark. God, we thank you, Lord, for the glory of God in their life, God. We thank you that we're in that time, we're in that place where you're choosing a new people. You've already chosen us, but that choosing is being manifested. The choosing being manifested. So, you know, God had already chosen Peter, James, and John and all those guys to be used, but they just didn't know it yet, right? And so Jesus came along, walking around the shores of Galilee, and he said, hey, you, Peter, you know, let me use your boat. Peter didn't know what was going on. Who is this guy? You know, excuse my boat. So he just happened to be kind of like, okay, well, something's going on here. So he let him use his boat. And pretty soon, Peter was right in the middle of everything. I mean, just letting Jesus use his boat. And I don't know what this is about you guys, but Deborah, letting God use your boat, use your life, use you to you know, do whatever. God, I'll let you use me. Even if you abuse me, I'll let you do whatever you want to do. God, if you want me to suffer, I'll suffer. If you want me to be, I will do whatever you want. In Jesus' name. And so because you know that's happened and you've gotten a heart for that, just like Peter. Peter was just a fisherman. He was like a regular guy. He was going to, all of a sudden, you know, he's right in the middle of the gospel and the Messiah coming into the earth. All of a sudden, he was right in the middle of everything. And like he probably had to wake up every day pinching himself, Deborah, going like, oh, my God, what has happened? I let God use my boat, and all of a sudden, you know, now I'm going with him, and I'm leaving my boat behind, and because I got a new thing going on. And so I thank you, Lord, for that calling, that manifestation. You had already called him. He did not have a clue, and then he knew he was going to be used by God for something, probably to be a great fisherman. Like Joseph thought he was going to be a great crop grower. He ended up just collecting the crops that other people grew, became great at that. And so he didn't have a clue until all of a sudden God goes, wow, you know, let me borrow your boat. So because you have such a heart for that, let God have whatever he wants. And you feel things, you sense things, you know things. And when Jesus shows up and says, let me borrow your boat, you're like, who is this guy? But I feel something about this. So I think I'm going to do it. And because you go by what you feel in your spirit, man, what you know, and you learn to trust that thing, you know, you're already finding your calling. Being right in the middle of what God's doing in the earth, you're going to find yourself like just like Peter, being a regular, everyday person. All of a sudden, knowing you have a calling to something, but not sure exactly how great it's going to be, all of a sudden you're right in the middle of, you know, traveling with the Messiah and, you know, going around, you know, and being right in the middle of what God's doing. I thank you, Lord, for that in her life, God. And all the struggles, all the battles, all the things she's fought and gone through, God, you're going to wash her feet. You're going to wash her tears. You're going to wash her feet. Wash her feet. If I wash your feet, you're washed, you're clean all over in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for that in her life. Amen. 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 Wow, whatever that means. Cool. All right, 803-991, who am I talking to you from, please?
My name is Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela. All right, Angela, thank you for that little testimony you gave me the other night about I shared it on the show, I think, one night, how that you know, things that were being said to you. it's just amazing. I'm always amazed every time. And I thank you, Lord, for you called Angela to the amazement realm. You called her to be amazed. You called her to be in awe. You called her to, because she respects you and she honors you, God, that you called her to be in awe of you. You called her to amaze her and you know. And here's the thing, girl, that's going to happen with all this stuff, is that it's not only God's called you to be amazed by him, because you already are amazed by him and want to be amazed more by him, that he's gonna be amazed by you. Yeah, by you. Well, that doesn't make any sense. How can Jesus be amazed by regular people? Well, you know, like the woman who had a daughter who had a devil, and he says, you know, can you come cast the devil out of my daughter? He says, well, I can't. You know, you're not a Gentile. You're not a Jew. I don't give my bread to you guys yet. That's going to happen later. She said, well, but master, you know, the puppy dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table, and it just
floored him. He went, "What did you just say? Like, what was that?" Oh my God, literally, oh my God, literally, oh my God. And I mean, he touched her. I mean, he was so touched by her that he went outside of his purpose and outside of what he was doing to heal a Gentile woman, because a woman, a Gentile woman's daughter, because it just she impressed him. And I thank the Lord for that with her, in Jesus' name, and bless her with that. God, open her up for that and show her that not only does you want her to be amazed by you, and she is, but you are amazed. You're going to be amazed by her, God, in Jesus' name. Amen, by her faith. All right, 111, who am I talking to you from, please?
It's Barbara from Texas.
Barbara? All right, Barbara, hang on a second here. I'll be right back. All right, Barbara, thank you. Well, I think for Barbara tonight, God. Well, I think for that little child inside of her, that child, that pure, innocent child that so loves you and so trusts you and so adores you, Jesus, that innocent child of her, God, that's her faith. That's just like that innocent that angel that came to me and connected me to this massive, you know, thing that I consider massive, at least. The market realm and the whole thing about the, you know, the end time calling, the whole thing is like in five little words. This little innocent angel, it sounded like an innocent child talking to me. And that little innocent voice connected me to glory, man. Connected me to glory in ways that I still don't understand. I'm still trying to comprehend it, you know. Little by little I get pieces of it. But it was like a child. It was like a little innocent child. It wasn't like some "Thou shalt go forth." You know, it was like, "There's a massive merger coming." Like it was a little kid, like whispering. You know, little kids whispering in your ear. They their little secret, you know, and they just look at you like you should be amazed at it. You know, and I'm going, "Oh, interesting." Yeah, and it's like you doing that to Jesus, like telling Jesus, you know, whispering in Jesus' ear, and Jesus going, "Whoa, you know, that's really awesome." But that innocent faith in her, God, that faith, that part of her, this innocent and pure. We got parts of us that are not so perfect, of course. We all got that. No doubt about that. Our soul needs work, our body, but our spirit, her spirit, man, God, is pure, doesn't sin, can't sin. Your soul can sin, but your spirit, man, cannot sin. It cannot happen because it's been seated with Christ. And because of that, that's that pure, innocent child inside of you that just knows and believes, no question, no doubt whatsoever. I trust my daddy. I'm just like, I've been made in his image. I've been made in his likeness. This is my house. This is my daddy's house. Everything he's got is mine. Just like that old thing, Jesus, that innocent child, just knowing, that doesn't even think about God, not things not showing it. Doesn't even think about that. That's what our spirit man, that's what your spirit man is like. Like that innocent child, like that innocent angel that came and spoke that in my ear, told me exactly what the Father was doing, and it connected me. From that time on, I had supernatural connection that could have never happened without that. It was an innocent voice of an innocent, seemed like an innocent child angel. But, you know, anyway, amen. Thank you, Lord, for that and awakening that inside of her, God, in Jesus' name, more and more. Let her be more aware of that. That part of her that trusts. Amen. Amen. Like an innocent child. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful God. Jesus' name. All right. 903-808. I'm going to talk to your friend, please.
Yes, this is Janie in Texas.
Hey, Janie. Hey. All right, Janie from Texas. Thank you, Lord. You know, I keep hearing the word the Father's heart. The Father's heart. Janie, you know, God wants to show you his heart. You know, the mind of God is amazing. Of course, we're going to have all that too. But it's like with you, it's like God wants to use you to turn people into lovers of God, worshipers of God. You know, it's a whole different thing when you have worship going on in a church, worship going on in a service, and the music's going. There's just nothing like it. I mean, that musician may not be able to preach a lick. That musician may not be able to talk a lick. But when they start worshiping and singing, it's like, oh, my God. Like, what is going on around here? But you meet him after the service. Hey, how you doing? Oh, hello. Yeah, my name is Petey, and yeah, I did love to worship the Lord, all right, and everything. But I got to go home to my mama because I got to go. You're like going, that was the guy up there? You know, because some people just have this thing where God uses them in a certain way. And I'm not comparing you to that voice and that person, but just saying the heart of God. When God uses some people, that's all they can think from. It's from their heart. They think from their heart. They do things from their heart. David had a heart after God, Jeannie, a heart after God. And like sometimes he would be like some little poet, you know, like a little, like that little innocent part of him, that little, you know, almost like a little girl. You know, he wasn't a girl, but it does say in the King James Version, it literally says this, you know, and I don't believe David was a girl because guys are guys and girls are girls, right? But he had, the Bible says in Psalms 34, go read it for yourself, in the King James Version, it says, David is talking, he says, my soul makes her boast in the Lord, her boast. And that's when I first realized that the soul is feminine in everybody, and the spirit is masculine. And so when I saw that part about David, then I began to understand his spirit man was like talking to a little girl. You know, he's acting like a little girl, like, Daddy, you going to do this to me, Daddy? Daddy, you know, where are you at? I need you. I thought you're going to help me. And I say that it sounds kind of negative. I don't mean it in a negative way at all. It's like that's the way David was. He was like a little girl who just, you know, a little girl. Like his soul makes her boast in the Lord. David was all man. He was all man. There is no transgender. There is no that stuff. There's no homosexuals who are walking. This man was a man's man. But his soul was like a little, like a woman, like caught on to the emotions of God and the heart of God and the feelings of God. And so this whole realm, that's why God loved David, Jeannie. That's why... Man, I feel the power of God. That's why he loves this guy. Lets his soul be a soul. He lets his soul be like a woman, like a girl, like, you know, I need you. And just, you know, how women are, they just like, they're more about love than about anything. Men are, you know, like love, but they just like, they got other things going. But women, they just like, everything's about love and feeling, you know, and that's why guys kind of going, hey, you know, get back, Jack. You know, we got time for that at a certain time. But women, it's like, you know, there's this thing built in them. We want love. We want friendship. We want communication. We want love. We're lovers. We want to love each other. We want to be kind to each other. We want to talk, you know, straight with each other and talk affection and let our affections be made known and without somebody criticizing. And that's what got that whole realm, David. His soul was so open. His soul was not bound. His soul was so free. You wouldn't think he'd be free by listening to talk, but the fact that he talked the way he talked shows how free he was, because he would just express his feelings. It didn't matter if it was good, bad, or ugly. And God looked at him and he went, my God, boy, I love you. I love you, man. Your soul is free. When I'm not there, you let me know it. Daddy, where are you? I can't live without you. You know, and most people look at him and like, oh, you was such a whiner. But he wasn't a whiner. He just couldn't. I can't live without you, God. I've got to have you. Where are you? When you're not here, I'm lonely. When you're not here, I feel bad. I feel worried. I'm freaking out over here. Where are you at? And people think, well, that he's just a worry boy. He said, no. He had a heart. He wanted heart. Where's my lover at? Where's my God at? Where's my friend at? Where's my help coming from? Oh, I need him. And David revealed the heart of God. That's why God said, made it a thing. Even if all of his mess up, man, as messed up as that boy was, my God. And God still says, no, he got a heart after me. He's got a heart after me. And I use David to show and reveal my heart. My heart. Oh, he showed the warrior part of God too, but he was so big on. When you read Psalms, you see the heart of a lover, like groaning and moaning, like where's my love at? Where's my love? I got my love. And it's some whiny little girl, like some whiny woman, going like, oh, I miss my husband. Man. And so it's like, but yet it's the pure beauty of God, in the heart of God, And this is what God is looking for, Jeannie. He's looking for people that would draw from him. David drew when he was doing all that so-called complaining and like, why, where are you at? And I need you. I got to have you. He sounded weak and miserable and like, and David didn't give a rip what anybody thought. You know why? Because he said, that's the way I get God's attention. It's not about being whiny. It's about knowing, letting him know I need him. I got to have him. I can't live without him. And some people say, well, that's weak. And that's like a girl. That's like a woman. You know, what's wrong with you? And David goes, yeah, my soul, Psalms 34, the King James Version, my soul makes her boast in the Lord. Spirit is masculine, my soul is feminine, and I let them be what they are. When I'm crying out with my soul, my heart, it cries out like a howling donkey, and he, like, ow. It's like, I got to have God, and I got to have him now. And he expressed that without any hesitation or reservation. And you know what, Jeannie? God loved that about David. He said, man, that man will make a fool of himself crying out for me. How can I resist him? I cannot resist him. Woo! Hallelujah. Are we talking some stuff tonight? I don't know what's going on. Anyway, there you go. That's crazy, man. I'm going to crazy talk. Hang on a second. My computer's messing up on me. Give me a second here. Opa, kid, man. Sometimes I get, you know, stuff, man. It's like, where am I going with this? I don't know. Who cares? I'm just about to decide. I don't give a rip what people think about me talking, you know, whatever, you know. Yeah, I'm going to be more like David. That's what I'm getting for this message tonight from her about Jeannie. My God, who cares whether you think I'm, you know, acting like a girl? You know, like men do, they go, oh, he acts like she's like a girl. He's like a girl. He's got like a little girl. You know what? God's like going, well, I happen to like that guy. I happen to like that. All right, so tell everybody else to shut up and listen to David. All right, 682-738, can I talk to you from, please?
Yeah, this is LaShawn from Texas.
Hey, LaShawn. LaShawn from Texas. I keep forgetting LaShawn from Texas. Did I know that? I think I did. Anyway, so I don't know what that's about. Thank you, Jesus. See, Carl, how my heart is. Hey, shake it up, how my heart is. Shake it up, how my heart is. Hey, shake it up, how my heart is. Hey, make it up, how my heart is. Shake it up, how my heart is. Shake it up, how my heart is. Pende lokindamo seki dapu frapo katu misi kindi shoko ponga makende makwata meliko rakota ni sigri gregre dor pata fredengo punchista kumba apande hinka waha basoke ni kise shikise kishi kishike shikise kishishise kikapunde okamahe ya. Whatever that was, I don't know what that was. This happened to me last Wednesday night. It was last Wednesday night. A spirit man just went off in tongues over people last night. And God showed me I was talking to their angels. The spirit guy said, I'm talking to their angels tonight. And I guess God's talking to your angel right there. But that just like came out of me like, Buka neo amabata, shakwa ati mahaha. Thank you, Lord, for moving. There's a time to stay still. There's a time to move. She's showing the shun that when it's time to move, she moves. When it's time to stand still, she stands still. God, it's not about what people think. It's not about being motivated by people, by what the world's doing, and what everybody club they're part of, what they're expecting ought to be done. But it's about trusting you, God. It's about moving when you move. You know, when Jesus moved, was moved with compassion. In other words, he didn't just move any time and go do something. If people think, oh, these hyper-positive Christians who hyper-positive everything and say, you can have whatever you speak, you know, like you can make up anything, come up with it. If you speak it enough, you're going to get it. And it is totally anti-God. I believe it's totally anti-God. That God breathes in us what he wants us to do. He moves us what he wants us to be moved to. We don't just pick something out and start doing our own thing. We start letting God choose. God is the chooser. He chooses. And we let him choose. He's chosen us. He's chosen you, LaShawn, so he can choose for you, choose you. He chose you so he could choose for you and show you what to choose. In other words, God's showing you what to choose. We don't just, as you know all this stuff, we don't go out there and hyper-faith the word of God. Oh, yeah, whatever. I'm going to say this, say whatever I say, it's going to happen. And we start trying to, that becomes humanistic bunch of trash. You know, but whatever God, Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father. He didn't go around just saying, I can say whatever I want, it's going to happen. No, it boiled down to one thing, and that is I do what I see my Father do. I do what I see my Father do. I don't do nothing except what I see my Father do. And my Father's not doing it, I don't do it. If my Father's not saying it, I don't say it. I don't care how biblical it is. I don't care how scripturally it is. If my Father's not saying it, I'm not saying it. People don't know that, son. They don't know that. 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 And I'm trying to teach them that. And they've got so much trash in their head, so much stuff, that they can't even learn how to be led by the Spirit, because they're trying to tell the Spirit what to do, because they think they can just say whatever they want, however they want it, and it's going to happen. No, it's not. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. When he says this mountain move, he's talking about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the only one who can move mountains. And when we wait on him, we wait on the Lord. Wait and see what God, you know, said. What's that scripture says? Wait and see. Let me see if I can find it. Hang on a second here. Wait. Hang on a minute. Yeah. Stand still and see that I'm God. Stand still. Like, wait on him. Wait on him. Wait on him. And when he moves, you move. He's not moving, you don't move. Okay. The salvation of the Lord. Yeah, wait and you should see the salvation of the Lord. Yeah. But the thing that I'm getting is that wait and see. Like, wait. Don't move without him. Jesus waited on the Lord. We wait on him. And when he moves, we move. And I know it's easier said than done, but, you know, that's the whole thing. We got to people do this thing of, they take scripture. I heard somebody that I like teaching. Andrew Womack is a good teacher. I heard him talk about this tonight, and I didn't agree with him at all. Oh, just say whatever you want to say, and it's going to happen. All right? That's egotistical, arrogant. And Kenneth Copeland was the one who brought in, and all those guys. I mean, I love it. But, you know, the truth is, we say what God says. Well, just you ought to be smart enough to come up with something. Just say something. Whatever you say, it's going to happen. And like, where did they get this stuff at? Where did they get this false gospel at? God's saying, you know, get back in line with me. Wait and see. Jesus said, I don't do anything except what I see my Father do. I don't say anything except what my Father says. Yeah, and I thank you, Lord, for bringing her to that place in a new level, at a new depth, God, in her life, like never before, God. She will be used by you, moved by you, where you will move her. Jesus was moved with compassion. He wasn't just moved by, you know, he thought, oh, we're going to do this, have this great mission we're going to do. We're going to do all these great things. No, he was moved to go and put dirt on a guy's eyes, but God moved him to do that. He didn't say, whatever I say will happen. Right? If whatever he said would happen, he could have just spoke over the whole world, and the whole world would recreate an image and likeness of God. But he had to be led by the Father, by the Holy Ghost. And I thank you, Lord, that she's doing that, God. She's going to walk in that, live in that like she never has before in her life. That new, brand new thing in her life, God, is going to be amazing. All right, 402-214. Let me talk to your friend, please. 402-214. All right, I guess that's Sharon from New York. Thank you, Lord, for sharing, God. I thank you, Lord, that for she has a sharp mind. Talking about the brain lately, the mind. But I thank you, Lord, that she submits her mind to you, God, and the Holy Spirit begins to use her mind, that you will begin to take away the shadows and the things that the shadows that darken, when she through a glass darkly, I think some people see through a glass that's just almost purely dark, because we can't see in some areas. In some areas, we can see really clear. And I thank the Lord for clarifying and clearing the way for her that she can see clearly, God, that in her mind can reflect what the light of God is saying. We reflect what God is saying. We don't come with our own thing. The light of God, the image is of what God wants us to do, what he wants to say. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you will begin to do that in her mind like never before. Like you did with her. She talked about this last week about the testimony about that person that got kidnapped, and she kept getting thoughts and even told people about the Mormon people that were, you know, some guy that's an extreme Mormon has this person. And she was right about that. You were showing her stuff. So, God, I thank you for helping her walk in that, helping her live in that, and moving that, and have her being in that, God, in Jesus' name, where she will be hear from you, God, and move on that, because she knows you're speaking to her. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 612-805, you want to talk to your friend, please? Oh, 612-805 went bye-bye. As I clicked on her number, they were gone. That's sad. It was weird. All right. Let me go here. Hang on a second. All right. Let's go here to 682-738-738. Can I talk to your friend, please? Oh, this is LaShawn.
Hello?
Sorry, LaShawn. I got you already. Sorry. I'm getting... All right. Thank you, LaShawn. 919-995. You want to talk to your friend, please? All right. Hang on a second here. We got Cheryl here. Cheryl, I'm not sure from Florida, but the other Cheryl. Thank you, Jay. I think we have two or three Cheryls. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. We thank you, Lord, for the light of the gospel of Jesus. God, that you called her to be filled with the light of the gospel, and that the gospel, Cheryl, is what's going to guide you and lead you, even into things in the natural realm that may not be necessarily doing preaching the gospel, but the light of God going to shine in you and show you, you know, like I see the light showing you where the light is in the people that you're around. You're going to see the light in them. You're going to be able, the light in you is going to show you the light in them, to know that in that light, you have fellowship in that light. In other words, sometimes God, when God does something, he will shine a light on something. That's what happens with me. Sometimes he'll like even reading the Bible, sometimes it's like a light will shine on a certain scripture, you know, sometimes. And I look at it and go, oh, wow, I think I'm supposed to read that and understand that. And even though I read it, you know, I don't always understand everything, but eventually I do. So it's like God, Cheryl, showing you how that light, the light of God always leads you by light. In other words, he will show you the light, things that you're supposed to be a part of, things you're supposed to be connected with. There will be a light about them. And it will be God's light showing you, you know, like, this is the way. Go ye therefore and do it. Now, when you see the light, when God shows you the light, when you're able to see clearly those things. And a lot of it's through the gospel. God wants you to know that understanding the gospel, getting in the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation is everything we need, whether it be a marriage, a house, a home, family, everything. The gospel has everything in it. Everything from marriage to family to children to finances to money to how to take care of the land and all of it, how to eat, everything. It's in the gospel. It's in the gospel. It's all connected to the gospel. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to show her that in Jesus' name and open her up to that right now by the power of God. Amen. I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name from off of that right there. Amen. All right. 303-517. Who want to talk to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Mike and Veronica.
Hey, y'all. All right. Mike, M&V, Mike and Veronica. Thank you, Lord, for Mike. God, we thank you, Lord, for the courage you've given him, God, like Joshua. The courage you've given him, great courage, God, at times to do great things. And I thank you, Lord, for that courage, God, that you've given him to you know, like you did Joshua, to believe God to tear down the walls, to walk around the walls of Jericho and pull down those walls, God, so that you could so he could take the booty from it. It's like, I see the walls of Jericho. Since, I don't know, it's something you've been doing already. I'm not sure what this is exactly, but, you know, I know you're a prayer walker. It has nothing to do with this. It's not where I'm going with it, but that's what I saw you doing, like walking around the walls of Jericho. As God gave Joshua the information to, you know, walk around it, gave him instructions to do it in a different way that, you know, no, we're not going to go with swords. We're going to go with, you know, walking, we're going to walk. And so I thank you, Lord, for that anointing in Mike's life, God, and seeing the giving him the courage, because it takes courage to do that. Without courage, we fall apart. Without, how does the devil hit us? With fear. It's one of his greatest strategies is fear. He hits us with fear, and it robs us of our courage. And I thank you, Lord, that Mike knows how to fight that. He knows how to work against that. He knows how to enter into the courage of the Lord. And God, I see God bringing you to a whole other level of courage that you've never had before, a whole other level of courage. I see God encouraging you in ways you've never been encouraged before to give you that courage. Because when we enter into higher places, going deeper with God, taking more territory, what does he do? He doesn't just leave us with our old courage. He gives us new courage. He gave Joshua new courage for a new season, for a new time. Courage. And meditate on the word day and night. And God gave him success, great success. And I speak that over my brother, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Veronica, God. I thank you, Lord, for her love for you, Jesus. I thank you for her desire to serve you, desire to walk with you, desire to know you, and to have other people know you, to gather the family of God together, and to gather the family together and let people love each other, let people get to know each other, let people you know, fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus, and as we fellowship one with another, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. So there's something in Veronica about bringing people together under the blood and by the Spirit of God, that they fellowship one with another, that cleanses us by the blood in a way that nothing else does. That's what says verse John. So as we fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Thank you, Lord, for that whole realm of gathering people together to fellowship in you, Jesus, so we can be cleansed at a deeper level than we've ever been cleansed before, God, in our blood realm, in our DNA, in our addictions, all those things, all those DNA sins, all those genetic sins, to be washed away, God, as we fellowship one with another, in Jesus' name. And I do smell food right now. I do smell food. I don't know where that's coming from. It's not coming from here. But so that food thing you talked about the other night, maybe there's something to do with that. I'm not sure what that is. It's pretty cool. All right. 111, who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hey, Randy, Jeff, and Yuki.
Hey, you guys. All right. Good to have you. All right. Yeah. I tell you what. Get ready, man. Get ready, man. Get ready. Get ready, man. Whatever that is. Get ready, man. Get ready. Get right down. Get ready. To shout them down. Get ready to shout them down. 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 Shout with the shout. You know, talk about Trump being a trumpet, like Trump trumpeted, right? And there's also the shout of the Lord. I don't know. Let me look at the scripture here about shout, because there's something about shout. Shout to the Lord. Shout to the, I don't know where this is going exactly, but all right, let's go here for a second. See what's going. Shout to the Lord is a praise and worship song. Okay, written by Christian worship leader Darlene Shizek. Darlene Sheck. Okay, so she's a well-known worship leader. I don't know why I'm going here with this. Shout to the Lord. That's just what came to me when I got up, John. It's a praise and worship song written by Christian worship leader Darlene Sheck in 1993, a popular worship power ballad by Hillsong Music, Australia. Don't know what that is. In April 2008, Shout to the Lord was the closing song of Idol Gives Back, sung by the remaining eight contestants of American Idol in a gospel choir. Wow. The lyrics of the song were altered, changing the word Jesus to shepherd in the first line without the approval of Sheck of Hillsong Church. At the request of the song publishers, the song was performed again at the opening of the next show the following night. I'm using the original. I don't find a problem with this. The studio version of the performance characterized numbers 43 and Billboard Hot 100. Anyway, so something about maybe about worship. Maybe this is about shouting to the Lord is a signal word for worship, for praise. Right, because that's where that took me. Shout to the Lord. Let me see if I can go somewhere else with it. What's going on here? Wait and see. Shout. Okay. Shout. Okay. I have a feeling it has to do with the worship, a worship thing. We'll see. Yeah, it keeps coming up with her. So everywhere I'm going, this song about shout to the Lord. So shouting to the Lord is a worship song written by a very anointed Darlene Sheck. Wow, okay, so I'm getting stuck on this. That's all I'm seeing. I know there's a scripture that talks about that somewhere. The shout of the Lord. Sometimes in the Bible they would shout. You know what? Come think of it. That scripture I just gave Mike about walking around the walls of Jericho, I think at the end, didn't they shout? Let me see. Hang on a second. Sorry, I should know this stuff, but it's just so spontaneous. Walls of Jericho shouted. Okay, when the ram's horn sounded, the people shouted. Okay, my God, that was right. Thank you, Jesus. All right, I'm going to Joshua 6:20 says, so when the ram's horn sounded, the people shouted. Right, and that's when the walls of Jericho came down. So this is kind of a combination here or something. I'm not sure what that is. So I just gave Mike that word about prayer walking. And now I'm giving you this about the shout. And so they walked around the walls. And so when Joshua 6, chapter 6, verse 20, so when the ram's horn sounded, the people shouted. And hang on a second. The men gave a loud shout. The wall collapsed. Whoa. So this is about to be some kind of a collapse here. The shouting. So everyone charged straight in and they took the city. Woo! What is that, man? That is crazy. Those two words kind of mixed together and so something's happening with that. I don't know. Shout to the Lord. Wow. Shout to the Lord. Okay. There you go. I mean, that was definitely the Holy Ghost. So I mean, everything's definitely the Holy Ghost, but I just wasn't sure where that was going. That's amazing. All right, and for you too, God, all that combination, God, to bring that together to whatever that spirit of praise upon them, God, because the walls are about to come down. The walls are coming down. That's what I'm hearing, man. The walls are coming down. When the trumpets sounded, the army shouted, and all the at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, and everyone charged straight in and took the city. Woo! Here's a New Living Translation. Jeff, you get this book. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could, and suddenly the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. Man, I don't even think I can add much to that. That's like pretty damn amazing. Wow. Woo! Wow. So the shout obviously was the vibrations, coming out of the mouth of how many people they had. I mean, how many people came out of, were in, walking around in North Jericho was a lot. And the sounds of that coming out of their mouth, along with the anointing, vibrated, did something, and the walls fell. The walls fell. So there it is. And a darling check, you know, I went to that first, so something about the worship, and I know you guys have a calling to that, so whatever God's saying, man, I don't know, but do it. All right, going to the next call, 334-590. Can I talk to your friend, please?
Jayla.
Oh, hi, Jayla. Hi, Jayla. Good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Jayla. Thank you, God, for bringing her forth, Father, with her faith. God, showing her that her faith is stronger than she potent than she thinks. She's going to be surprised by her own faith. She's going to be shocked by her own faith. You're going to go like, oh, my God, what happened? I don't know. Where'd that come from? Oh, your faith. You know, like Jesus said, Jesus told the woman, he says, the woman who had the issue of blood, she says, your faith has healed you. She like went, what? I got faith? She didn't connect any of that stuff to faith. She didn't connect anything of that part where she was like, you know, seeing Jesus walk by and broke through the crowd and, you know, broke the Jewish laws, really, because she was unclean, and breaking through and touching people and then go touching the master of the ceremony of the whole parade that was going on, pushed her way through and touched him. She didn't have a clue that had to do with her faith. And Jesus turned around and she was like, she's like going, God, I'm totally healed now. I'm totally delivered. And she's like going, I don't know how that happened. I know I touched Jesus' garment. But Jesus said, Jesus turned around her and said, woman, your faith has made you whole. And then she realized, oh, all that pushing through and all that deciding, I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm going to break through and touch the hem of his garment was faith. And she didn't even connect to that. She didn't even know that. And all of a sudden, now she knows it. And her faith was much stronger than she thought. But she just thought she was desperate. But it was more than desperate. It was that desperation came, and it unlocked her faith. So, amen. Let that be. Thank you, Lord, for showing her faith is stronger than she thinks, God. All right, 402-650. Who might talk to you from, please?
Hey, Randy. It's John from Omaha.
Hey, John. All right. Give me just a second here. I'll be right back. All right, John from Omaha. Thank you, Lord, for John tonight, God. We thank you, Jesus, for that the timing of everything, God. It's like it's right now. It's 11:11 exactly. Well, it's 11:11 at 1 o'clock. 11:10 on the other. So it's about to be an 11:11. So it's about to be in a timing thing going on. A connection. There it is, right there. 11:11. Right. My computer is 11:11 right now. All right, that caught my attention, so I just saw it. So thank you, Lord, for the timing elements with him, God, for John. That just like Joseph, he thought he was out of timing. He thought he was like in this place where he wasn't supposed to be, and all of a sudden he realized it was exactly where he's supposed to be. And because he was there, the timing, all the things connect, and you begin to connect to him, and his faith began to grow stronger. You begin to understand that all the struggles and battles that he went through, God, part of his process. He was right in the right spot at the right time. At the right time. When those two guys came from the king, from the palace, they'd been thrown in prison. Probably somebody stole something or robbed something. Somebody took something. In fact, I think the baker actually did steal something because he got his head. He got hung, right? Well, anyway, they were there. Joseph was there on time, in the right place at the right time. When they came in, he interpreted their dreams, told them one was going to get his, one was going to be hanged, the other was not going to go back, be restored. So I guess the baker's the one that did the wrong thing because he got hung. They must have proven that he did it. And so hung him, and the other guy got let go. So, and little bit, you know, right after that, he was, you know, raised up. God set him up. He was in the right time at the right place. And thank you, Jesus, for that with my brother. Thank you, Lord, for him knowing that, for him observing, for him trusting you, God, that he just keeps his eye on serving you, doing what you do, being faithful to you, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, no matter what he feels like. And just like Joseph did, kept serving, 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 and he found that he was in the right place the whole time, didn't even know it. thought it was messed up. How can I be in the right place when I'm in prison with this situation? And I thank you, Lord, that it was doing a work in him, in his heart, teaching him how to trust you and how to keep serving you, even when things don't look good, to just keep doing it. And then that eventually broke him through into that place he was supposed to be. In Jesus' name. All right. Thank you for Melissa. Thank you, Lord, for Melissa. Bless Melissa, God. God, give her the things to do to relax her mind, to show her how to relax her mind. Sometimes taking a Sabbath is important, not just physically, but taking a Sabbath mentally, because our brain, as you've been hearing me talk about the brain lately, the brain, if we don't rest our brain at least one day a week, I mean, literally rest our brain somehow, that all the energy gets in there, it gets stopped up, and that's why we have anxiety and stress and go through all kinds of things. It's not because we're unbelievers, because we don't obey God's word by taking a Sabbath, whether it's a Saturday or Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. I take it sometimes. Rest that mind. Let it rest. Because when you let it rest, all the anxiety and stress kind of washes away. That's what rest does. It washes that out. And when you wash that out, then you can get new thoughts and new ideas, new things. So I thank you, Lord, for showing her how to find ways how to rest her mind, to relax her brain, and open her up on how to get that stress, be stress-free. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 612-805, I'm going to talk to you again, please. All right, 612-805, are you there? Hi.
Hello, Randy.
Hi. Who am I talking to? Where are you from?
Hi, this is Joyce from Minnesota.
Oh, good to have you. Thank you. I thought that was you. All right. Bless you, Joyce. Thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Joyce. Lord, thank you for her heart to give her life, to give her heart. God, Joyce will give her heart to whoever God wants her to give her heart to, whether it's giving her heart to her children, giving her heart to, you know, when you give your heart to God, then God starts guiding you where you can give your heart to. And when he instructs you to give your heart, of course, we give our heart to him first. And then he says, here, you can share your heart with, you can love this person, you can love that person, you can love this thing, you can love this job, you can love this particular church, this particular ministry, you can love these things, you know, because when we love them, you know, love is not wrong when God gives us a love for something. God can give us a love for doing a certain business. God can give us a love for, you know, cleaning house. He can give us a love for whatever. And it's not idolatry when he gives it to us, right? So we give our heart, and I thank you, Lord, for her heart to give, that she, in her giving, she gives to you first, God. You know, give God, you know, all your heart. Give him all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And then God will take that heart that you've so graciously given him, and he will put that love in you for the things, for the people. People say we can't love things, but, you know, when God, you know, I don't mean loving them like, because when you have God first and it's love, you know, it's not really loving things the wrong way. You can love things. You can love painting. Nothing wrong with loving. Oh, I love to paint. I love to paint. I love to be an artist. I love to be, you know, music. I love that. Nothing wrong with loving those things, but when you love God first, he shows you what to love. He shows you who you can love and all that. And I thank you, Lord, for her ability to give. Her giving heart, God, is giving to you first, God, and then you begin to give her love for those people, those things in her life, God, and that's what keeps her heart right. That's what keeps her heart in the right place and keeps it in the right order. You know, God wants us to keep things in order, and keep things in order really is keeping our heart in order. And I thank you, Lord, that she does that, God, and she loves God, in Jesus' name. She puts you first, God, in Jesus' name. Even the time she doesn't even realize it, that she's doing that in her heart. She's already sold out on, you know, I got to have God first. God didn't show me. God didn't lead me. Then I'm going to fail. And that's what Jesus said. I can do nothing, Joyce, except what I see my Father do. Amen. And he knew that he gave all of his love to the Father, every bit of it, soul, body, everything to God. And then God says, okay, go love this person. Go pray for this person. Go resurrect this person. Go do that. Go to the temple. Go make a whip and drive with the money chase. It was all God. God gave him all that because he put God first. Jesus was a giver. Amen. He gave his heart to the Father. That's what makes you a giver. A true giver is somebody who gives their heart to God, not that gives their heart to everybody else, or gives her you know, money to everybody else. It's giving your heart to God, giving everything to God. Amen. And then God says, okay, do the work. He'll tell you, do this, do that. You know. And that's what keeps things in order. All right, 251-229. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Sarah from Alabama.
All right, Sarah. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah tonight, God. Thank you, Lord, for that peace, that passive understanding, God, that sometimes that we lose our peace because we try to figure out things. How's this going to work? How's that going to work? You know, it happens with me, it happens with everybody. We spend too much time trying to figure out how it's going to work. And God knows that. That's a little, you know, that's what we do. We want to know, when's it going to work? How's it going to work? And God's like going, I'm going to give you a peace that's going to pass and understand. You're not going to understand how it's all going to work, but you're just going to trust me. I'm going to give you a peace that passes understanding, where you don't have to understand it, where you don't have to know everything, where you don't have to have it all figured out. Because our brains want to know, right? And there's nothing wrong with wanting to know. God made us to want to know. Well, it's not sinful to want to know, except that we got to learn how to do it in God. We learn how to, you know, knock and it shall be open, right? He tells us to ask him. He wouldn't tell us to ask him if he didn't want us to know, right? So to want to know is a great thing, but we do it God's way. Amen. We seek God. We ask him. We knock on his door. Amen. We look for him. And I thank you, Jesus, for her to be able to know how to seek you and know how to find out what's going on and why it's not going on and all that. There's nothing wrong with that. Beautiful thing. But we do learn to do it in Jesus. Seek after me, saith the Lord. Knock after me on my door. And so I thank you, Lord, that you want us to know. That's what Satan did with Eve. He knew that she wanted to know. He knew that God made people to want to know and be curious about stuff. So he used it against her. And it was a God thing, but he used it. And he used a God thing in her mind to be curious about things and use it to trap her. And so God uses that. Because, so to have that desire and passion to want to be wise, want to know things, that's not wrong. It's just the way that we get it. It's the way that we do it. So thank you, Lord, for showing her how to walk in that, live in that. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right. All right, 608-960. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
I'm Shannon in Wisconsin.
Hey, Shannon. All right, Shannon. Thank you, Lord, for exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask, think, or imagine, God, that in the life of Jesus, that Jesus was able to do the unlimited because he cleared his mind. He knew how to keep his mind clear. When you keep your mind clear, instead of worrying about things, you know, we all do this. I mean, we all do this. I don't know anybody that does this. Even Jesus worried about things. I say worried about them. He didn't sin with it, but he came real close to, like, you know, can this cup pass from me? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. He had some struggles. He had some battles. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. So this whole thing about, about God being able to show us things, when our mind is so full of anxiety and stress because we're not quite giving it over to God yet, not learning how to yield it to him, then it gets all staticky in there and we can't hear anything. We have the voice of God inside us and we can't comprehend it. We can't really hear it because there's so much static in our brain, right? It's a brain thing. It's a human physical brain thing. And so, you know, the more I've learned to do this, Shannon, I learned to clear my mind, get my mind clear. Even in some of these other rituals that other people tell you to go through and meditation to clear your mind. Well, in a sense, they're right. But we don't do it their way. We do it God's way. You have a clear mind. It's what opens up, causes a cloudy mind is, you know, that electricity passing through there without, you know, being processed properly. And it's like all the electrical currents and everything are being, you know, just getting messed up. And then we can't think straight, right? We can't even hear the voice of God that's right inside of us. It's like having a radio on in your truck real loud and somebody's trying to talk to you. You can't even hear them because you get the radio so loud. That's what that static does for us. There's so much static in our brain. The voice of God's right there. We can't hear. So God's showing him how to clear his brain, somehow to, you know, cast his cares upon you and learn how to literally physically feed, make sure he's feeding his brain physically, make sure he's eating the right things that his brain will have, and not feeding his brain a bunch of trash that creates static and that creates, you know, your brain, if it's not being fed what God wants to be fed, it creates static. It creates confusion. That's what static is. It's confusion. And so then we can't hear anything clearly. Then we become like a double-minded man, unstable all of our ways, because our brain gets all full of static. And so I thank you, Lord, for the unstatic his brain, showing him how to do it, God, like you're showing me how to do it, how to unstatic our brains so we can hear clearly your voice that's always talking to us. It's like being in, like I say, like being in a truck with the windows rolled up, having the radio up all the way and trying to talk to somebody. It just doesn't work. Right, we have to end out of our brain. Our brain will allow it because it's so, it contradicts everything that God is saying. So noisy, so loud, we can't hear. But I thank you, Lord, that he has the ability to hear the voice of God and know the voice of God. I thank you, Lord, it's all about the brain. The battle really is in the mind. It's in all that static. In Jesus' name, help him to, I speak peace over his brain. I speak peace over his mind. I thank you, Lord, that he's learning how to cast his cares upon you, Jesus, where he becomes relaxed and free and restful, entering into the rest of the Lord means. It means that we enter into a place of where our brain is relaxed. That's what rest is. Our brain is relaxed. When your brain's relaxed, you're at rest, and when you're at rest, you can hear from God. So thank you, Lord, for helping us to do that. Help Shannon do that, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I speak peace to him, God. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all, I think that's, it's only 11:30, and wow, I'm already through. I think I'm getting really good at this. What do you think? Maybe not. Yeah, I think God's really helping me get through this stuff. Really cool, and wow, because I got room for a lot more, but that's all we got right now. So, all right, if you don't want ministry, anybody else doesn't want ministry, you still got time to call in. It's only 11:25. But if you don't call in, I will call it a night, right? Call it a night, a right night, or a night, you know, like a warrior, a night of the night. Jesus, make it right, God. All right. I'm going to give a minute here for somebody else to raise their hand. If they don't, I'm going to move on. All right, everybody, I'm going to call it a night tonight. Thank you. I gave it a little bit of time there. Nobody raised their hand, so call it a night. Thank you so much. Good enough for tonight. All right, God bless everybody. Bye-bye.